Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to Blog Talk Radio's featured World of Ink Network. This is your host, Virginia S. Grenier of the Writing Mama Show. And, of course, the World of Ink Network as a group, we'd like to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving since that is this coming Thursday. With that in mind, we are going into our holiday period, so there will be less shows happening weekly here at the World of Ink Network. We do have... And I'm not sure if it was changed for any particular reason, but Fran Lewis's show, Book Discussion, will be on Wednesday this week versus Thursday. And that looks like it's going to be at 4 p.m. Eastern time, 1 p.m. Pacific time for those who listen to Book Discussion. And again, that will be this coming Wednesday. Oh, it's because of Thanksgiving. That's why she's not doing it on Thursday. Duh. That's why it will be this Wednesday. I'm like... I just thought it was Thanksgiving, and my brain completely went out on me. So anyway, so that'll be on Wednesday instead of the Thursday, so Fran will still have her show this week. But that will be the only other show here at the World of Ink Network due to Thanksgiving. But we do have a few shows next week. Fran will be back. Bit of Pomerantz, and I'm not sure if Willow Cross or Cassandra Dane will be doing their shows because I haven't heard yet, but... myself and Marcia Casper Cook, we will not be doing shows next week as we will be taking a break pretty much almost all the way to Christmas with hosting shows here on the World of Ink Network. But you can tune into the other hosts. So just go to blogtalkradio.com/World of Ink Network to catch any of those shows, or you can listen through Twitter, Facebook, or iTunes. And then really quickly, Coffee Town Press brings you Scott Drezkel's debut novel, Better You Go Home, which is about a Seattle man who visits the Czech Republic to find his half-sister, and during that process discovers family skeletons. His name's Chico, and he's under an urgent request because he needs a kidney. He's hoping his sister will be a donor, but he's not sure if it's worth asking, as there are already too many skeletons between the family as it is. This book is called Better You Go Home, published by Coffee Town Press, and the author is Scott Drezkel, and we do thank them for being a sponsor here of the World of Ink Network. So today's show, we are changing from having picture book authors on. We actually have a young adult author on today on the Writing Mama Show. Her name is AJ Tufts, and she has written a book called Shadow Tears. So welcome to the show. We're glad to have you here.
Hi, Virginia. It's nice to be here.
So I would love for you to share a little bit about your background. I know we have the typical little bio from your book of who you are, but I would love for you to kind of share your journey into becoming a published author, because I've found that a lot of authors don't start off as wanting to be authors. It just kind of ends up becoming that way.
That is very true. I didn't exactly grow up saying I was going to be an author, but I did love my imagination and reading with my parents and listening to stories, and so then my imagination took off. But I did go to college to work in medical transcription and later as a medical tester in the optical world. And the thing that really kicked my writing off was when my husband became ill, and that did start around in 1995 technically, but in 2003 he was diagnosed with colon cancer, and we were spending a lot of times traveling back and forth to hospitals and doctor's offices and spending a lot of time at Cleveland Clinic because we did not live in Ohio at that time, and we still don't. We live in Michigan now. But we stayed in a hotel across from Cleveland, Ohio, the Cleveland Clinic, and felt like it was home in some ways because we were having to live there so much. And my kids had to grow up there. And one of the things I did was tell stories. This particular story that I always had in my head about shadows, and basically it was to help them to overcome things. I didn't want them to feel defeated by things. And looking at cancer was a scary thing for all of us in some ways, in many ways. And anyway, I was telling them this story one night, and my son looked at me, and being as simple as kids are, he just said, "Mom, where's the book at? I need to read this book. I need to be able to share it with my friends." And it really floored me. I know it sounds funny to other people that something like that would floor you, but when you're going through a hard time and your child looks at you, and it actually was Christmas time at the time, it hit really hard. So then that night, after I put them to bed, I literally sat down and had those nice little notepads from the hotel and started writing down shadow tears. And then the next day, I actually came up with the title because one of the things that we did in the hospital area was to look out windows. And there was, at that time, condensation or snow falling. And my kids didn't whine about this. They didn't cry about this. They didn't act scared about it because it was the norm to them in many ways. But yet I felt like the environment was crying for my kids because we weren't sure at that time if Chris was going to make it or not. And the Lord blessed us. He's made it. It's now 2014. And funny thing is he's had a recurrence of cancer. And we're going to be spending Christmas Eve again in the hospital with him doing surgery this year.
So
that's how we got started.
There you go. Okay. Now, the book, because it's a young adult novel that you've written, Shadow of Tears, it seems like it's more of a coming-of-age kind of story. I mean, is there any? Did you intend it to be more of a coming-of-age story, or was there other kind of elements that you were hoping that kind of stood out more from the book? Because, I mean, the character obviously is overcoming all these different obstacles and having to grow and, you know, going through adolescence, which every teenager goes through is a challenge in itself. So I'm just wondering, did you intend any of the other things to be more dominant? Because to me, at least, it seemed like the coming-of-age story seemed to be the more dominant theme to the book.
It definitely is. It definitely is. I'm Grand Central Station in our neighborhood. We're like the neighborhood house. Everybody comes over, and I see a lot of kids travel through, and I try to encourage them because sometimes they are going through something that to us may be small, but to them is very large. And overcoming those obstacles, you need to know that there's other people in the world going through those obstacles. And that's why this story is a coming-of-age story where she does have to face the normal stuff, but she's also got a little bit of sci-fi going on the side, and that just, you know, made it a lot harder for Selena. But the relationships within this book and the series, they all grow, and I love seeing them grow. I don't know if you... With my characters, I allow them to sort of write their stories, and when they come up to a circumstance, I don't always they make the decisions on where they're going to go. And sometimes it's not always the perfect decision or the right decision, but yet they still overcome that obstacle because there are kids out here who don't always make those correct decisions or whatever, and they need to understand it can be overcome and you can go further on with your life. It's just another learning experience. I talk about Parker and Shep saying that they let the girls help in the decision-making. I let my kids help in the decision-making. And like I said, I've got a 22-year-old now, and he's doing just fine.
Are any of the characters based off any of your kids or family or friends, yourself?
Well, Selena has a lot of me in her. I wasn't the most secure girl, but yet I was solid in my beliefs and understanding, but I always had that little bit of weakness of, am I doing the right thing? And I wanted girls to see that, you know, we've got to step out. We've got to have courage to overcome whatever is faced before us. And then her best friend, of course, is my sister. And my sister just died laughing when I told her. I said, yep, I wrote you right in there. And it's our relationship up and down, because Heather and Selena, that's my sister and I, we are just, we are them. And then, of course, my kids are in bits and pieces of all the characters, and some of their friends helped influence some of the characters, but I would say the only characters that really are based on people is Selena and Heather, and Shep is, and Matthew are mixes of people that are very involved in my life and my children's lives.
Right. Now, are you planning on writing a sequel to this book, or is this just going to be a standalone and none of the characters are going to emerge in another book?
Actually, I have the whole series already written. I am just working on editing. I actually am going to start working on the edits of the second book after Christmas holiday. And I'm hoping to have it out in the spring of 2016. So, no, I plan on developing the characters. In fact, I know they develop into nice, strong, young adults. And I actually write them all the way through that to the point that they actually have families. But during this whole time, they still have a lot to deal with in the shadow realm and the guardian realm. So,
no. Yeah. Because you talked about how you had written the story first, and then, of course, later you came up with the title. So was Shadow Tears the first title you came up with, or did it take a while to come up with that one? There's a few others that you kind of played around with. I'm just, you know, because a lot of books usually have what's, you know, a working title, but it's never the actual published title.
Well, the funny thing is the first book had to be Shadow Tears. I felt like since it was born in Cleveland Clinic, in the emotions that were going on there, it had to be Shadow Tears. There was just no doubt about it. Now, the other titles in the series, I actually am still playing around with those. But, no, Shadow Tears was a definite from the beginning.
Well, I love the title. It grabs you. It really, really does.
Well, I feel like, you know, in Shadow Tears, Selena, I don't know if you – well, actually, I do. As you read through the book, she looks out the window a lot, and there's rain and stuff. And if you read through the book and understand who Selena is, you'll understand why there's water on those windows so much, and that's why it's called Shadow Tears.
Right. Now, let's talk a little bit about the shadow realm, the non-human side of it, because that's always a hard thing. You know, when you're writing a book and it's based in just regular, you know, reality, be it, you know, United States, a foreign country, you know, somewhere geographically different from, like, where you live. Like, you know, so you, like you said, you know, like, I live in Michigan, but it's like you wrote it for us based in Florida. Generally, you can get around those kinds of things as an author. But when you have to build your own world, was that difficult? Because, I mean, now you're stepping out of the norm and having to create but still make it relatable to your reader. I mean, did you struggle with
that
at all?
True. I did. I struggled with that when I first started writing because, like I said, I didn't study to be an author. And what I wound up doing was floundering for the first 6 months, and then I decided to put my best skills to work of making guidelines. So I actually made a law book for the Shadow Realm. I have a law book for the Guardian Realm. I have protector laws and pure blood laws, and I also have created a prophecy book so that the series has a solid background. Anytime I had a question about something, I can go back to the law books or the prophecy. And I also made books that gave me guidelines to specific events in each of these children's lives on how a particular event has affected their lives and how it influenced their decision making. So even though my characters were able to help in the decision making, they always had to go, they had to stick within their rule book, their Bible, or their guideline book is what I call them. So,
she did a lot of outlining, it sounds like, beforehand.
I'm a little bit of a perfectionist or OCD. I don't know what you want to call it, but I wanted a series where there was consistencies, and I didn't. I love reading; it is just absolutely my passion. And then writing became a passion that I can't hardly put down anymore. But no, I wanted my world to have the roles, and so I even have a program that will come up and flag something. Like, you better go check your book. And so I do.
Okay. Well, I've never heard of a program that does that. I mean, I know there's editorial programs and stuff out there, so I'm not sure if maybe that's what you're using. But what program are you using? Because that's pretty cool if it tells you to, hey, this isn't, you know, falling in line with what you've been doing.
Believe it or not, my son is just a whiz with making programs and stuff. And we put together an Excel program. And then he put in some sort of little guideline, and it just helps me to be able to, car accident, it's referenced here, it's also referenced in this place. Do they match? And so that's what we work with. I told him he's a little genius on things.
Yeah. Wow, we all need one of those in our house. Wow, that's pretty cool. You might want to think about maybe developing something, because I know there's like First Draft and stuff like that out there that helps format for writers and, you know, we'll do some flagging, but I don't know if it does anything like that. If it like goes back to, you know, where it references to things or like, you know, what writers call the writing before the writing, so like all the outlining. But
yeah,
it does. You might want to think about that. What was that?
It does some sort of cross-referencing or some. I don't know what he's done.
He could probably make some money off that sucker, because I've been a bit of, but writers who are listening to this show today would be like, wow, I need that, because I know that's really, really hard to try and, you know, that's the other thing, too, when you're creating your world, which I think is great, you know, because you, and I was wondering about that, because I noticed that there were, you know, laws and boundaries, like we do in regular society have, and it's really easy when you're creating your own world to throw out a lot of that order. And so that's really cool that you actually have for each one a book that is specific to its creation and, you know, its law and order.
What their skills of their abilities can reach. So that was a doozy of a part in writing the series, was keeping their abilities in the appropriate growth patterns.
Yes, I can see that being a challenge. Did you use any research from, like, you know, like you have Wicca out there and there's like the different Celtic, you know, type of paganism religions out there? I mean, did you draw on any of those kind of things to kind of help give some guideline or to at least give you an outline of what to do, or did you just kind of sit down and let it flow?
That one's a little harder to answer. I did do a lot of research into different ceremonies, and that can be from the traditional Christian up to the Wiccan or the Druid weddings. And then basically I did create their own system. The shadow might pull a little bit more from the pagan side, and the guardian might pull a little bit more from the traditional Christian side. So I did a lot of historical research. I did go to some friends who are Wiccans and learned a lot about herbs. I learned about daggers from a friend of mine who's a policeman. And I also did a lot of research into weapons and historical battles. Oh my goodness, I read and read and read different ways that historical battles happened, and then came up with my own strategies. And then at times I did use historical battles for them to visit in the future books. So I did study mythology too, and that's a major part of the shadow realm, is mythology of the Greek gods.
Yeah, and I liked that part, by the way, because I have a lot of books that circle around the whole mythology. And when I hear someone use a Roman name and they're like, oh, yeah, and the Greek, I'm like, nope, that is Roman. They stole it from this one.
I know, and I actually I point that out in the Shadow Realm series. I mix the gods together, and you know, Matthew at one point he says, "Oh no, this is actually the Roman god." But you'll have to read the rest of the series to learn more about that, I guess.
Yeah, and it's true because people do mix them a lot in mythology unless they really study it. It's easy to do because they get used so interchangeably, unfortunately.
Oh, I know.
Like especially minor gods, because most people don't know the Greek names for the minor gods. They know the Roman names.
And I loved studying the minor gods, even. Mm-hmm. That was interesting.
Yeah. Now, was there any particular scene when you were writing Shadow Tears that really... You were emotionally attached to when you were writing it? Because I know that happens a lot. I mean, as an author, it's just kind of hard to separate yourself from emotionally from your writing. So was there any of them, any scene where when you sat there, you just were like, wow, this is really coming together, or you just got really emotional and could feel the tears in your eyes or any of that kind of?
Definitely. I think one of the harder scenes to write was after Selena found her father's diaries, Jared's journals, and she read through them, and she realized, you know, how you're growing up in life, and you've lost someone extremely special to you, and then they sort of, not that they become background or anything, but the feelings lighten. When she read those journals, she found out that she was really loved, and that she was really wanted, and how much she was missing. And to just have her laying in her bed that one night trying to fall asleep, I cried because I felt heartbroken for her. Because how hard would it be to be without your parents, even though you have a great father? Shep is outstanding. But to know that you lost your first set of parents was just heart-wrenching for me. I guess maybe because I was worried about my kids losing their dad at that time as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you can really relate to that emotion and that character.
Definitely, I could.
Yeah.
And then having to watch Billy and be with his kids and his family and Selena wondering, I wonder if Jared and Annalise would have been like this. I bet they would have. I bet Jared would have had fun. It broke my heart for her.
Now, as you've been working on the series, have you tried to? Because I know, you know, Selena has been the main character. Is that going to be continuous through the series, or are other characters going to kind of take a little bit of a lead role, or maybe share the spotlight a little bit more?
Actually, I love it when other characters get to share the spotlight. Of course, Matthew and Selena are going to be the main characters through the series, but the other characters get to step forward in each book that I've created. So you get to learn more about that character and become actually attached and very personal with those characters when they get to step out. And I was just reading through one of my future books, and I was like, oh, I love how he's grown up, and I now understand that little cockiness that he has. And I love seeing their growth, and I love that I'm going to be able to present each one with Matthew and Selena, and of course the plot that goes along with that. So, and it all fits together, which I was worried would not happen, because I felt like it was a very complicated series. And I did have to do a lot of webbing to make sure that everything fit together. And I finished the last book in the series just a couple months ago. And I'm blown away that it actually worked. And I love that. Not that I'm...
Not that you're what?
Not that I'm prideful in it. I guess I just am excited that it's actually... It came together.
I say, you sound like a proud mom talking about your kids.
Well, they are, in a way, aren't they?
I guess that's pretty much how it is for a lot of, you know, authors. I mean, your books do become, they're basically like your babies, and, you know, they have to send them out into the world and see if they can stand on their own two feet once they're published, which is always a scary process, of course.
Oh, it is. It's horrifying.
What has that process been like? I mean, you know, because it's very different. There's similarities, but there's very many differences, too, between debut authors and seeing their books in print. So what was it like to, you know, be really new to this process, not really have, you know, gone to school to make a career out of writing, just kind of falling into it, to go about the whole find a publisher and get myself published?
It was actually a very trying experience for me because I was scared to step out mm-hmm. and do anything on my own. And so I actually looked around and I studied really hard trying to make sure that I could find a publishing place that sort of matched my personality and had mm-hmm. a very good reputation and seemed to support their authors. And mm-hmm. believe it or not, I studied Halo Publishing for 2 years.
Wow.
I'm talking, I watched to see what their ratings were and comments on them. And then it just so happened a friend of mine went through and her daughter published her book through Halo Publishing. So then I got to be able to talk to her and find mm-hmm. out how she felt it was going. And after that, I came to a decision that Halo was the right place. And I told my husband, I said, Halo's where I'm going to go through. I know it. And he goes, okay, so when are we doing it? And I said, I don't know. I said, I'm a little bit scared too because how does the copyright work? And how do you make sure that everything it gets out there? Because I really was scared of getting it into print and then getting it the word out there that you're a new upcoming author. And mm-hmm. so then I wound up calling Lisa of Halo Publishing, and she has just been great, and her team has been outstanding. They will hold your hand and help you through each step of the way, and I love the open communication. That is the most important thing to me, is that open communication. It helps
yeah.
take away that fear.
Oh, I'm sure. What was it like when you finally saw your book in your hands? I mean, because that had to be a complete, you know, I've heard some people tell me it's like holding, you know, it's like when you have your baby, you know, almost, it's almost like that when you see your book for the first time in print.
Oh, it was beyond exciting. I was actually at work, and my kids mm-hmm. called up, and they go, Mom, there's some boxes here, and I think it's your book. Can we open it? And I said, go ahead. And they opened it, and then within 5 minutes, they were down at my office, and they handed me my book, and it was like, I had no air. I'm also an asthmatic like Selena is, and I think it just sort of triggered a small little panic attack or whatever you want to say, and it was like, oh, my goodness, it's really here, and it looks fabulous. I love it. So I was beyond excited, and thankfully all my coworkers and even patients all gathered around, and we just sort of had a little party right there.
Now, I love the cover, which, of course, goes back to the way Selena is, how she's always looking out the window, and, you know, there's always
mm-hmm.
water, rain,
mm-hmm.
and dismal, you know, overcast skies a lot of the time. So
mm-hmm.
was that a cover that you searched out, or did Halo search it? How did the cover come? Because, I mean, picking a cover for a book is so challenging because you want to make sure you create the right emotion from those
mm-hmm.
covers, you know, that relate to the book. So what was that process like? Because, it's such a perfect fit. And I was really surprised when I started reading the book, like, how perfect of a fit it is. Usually they're close, but I've never really come across too many covers where I'm like, yeah, that just says it all right there, you know.
Mm-hmm. Actually, Halo Publishing told me to go to a certain website and take a look at some pictures and get an idea of what I'd like for my cover.
Mm-hmm.
And I already had a general idea in my mind of what I needed for the cover, and I knew it had to have one of those windows that my kids and I looked out, and I didn't want the character to have a real face. Do you understand what I'm saying? I wanted it
yeah.
to be a little bit distorted so that the reader can put their face into that
mm-hmm.
that window. Anyway, this was actually the third picture that I came across, and it was like, ding, that's it. That's the winner. But I didn't allow it to stay there. What I did is I went through and I think we picked out 150 pictures, and then each night after dinner, we would have to knock 25 pictures off of that thing. So I think it took us about 2 weeks to do, but we always kept coming back to this one and two others. And in the end, the house was divided, except for myself. I was just bound and determined that this was the correct. I don't know why I just didn't say, yes, this is it. I guess it's because it's like you said, you want the picture to be perfect for the cover of the book to relate to the book. And
right.
My husband felt like, oh, we need to have a pretty beach scene because we mentioned the beaches and Shadow Tears. And I said, no, not the first book. Maybe later, but not this first book. It has to be Selena coming to grips with her reality. And that was the way she did it. She does a lot of thinking at those windows.
No, that's great. Now, are there any of the pictures that you like that you were also looking at out of those 100 that might end up as covers for your other books? Or
definitely. We've already laughed about that. The two runners up are going to be the next two books. So
well,
we're not going to have to go through. Yeah, we're not going to have to go through hundreds and hundreds. We already know what the next two covers look like.
Well, it sounds like you've been having, you know, a lot of fun through this process, considering the fact that, you know, your family has been going through, you know, or the fight with your husband with the cancer and everything. I mean, it sounds like this has really been a positive experience in your life through that, you know, obstacle.
It has been. I tell you, Halo Publishing stood behind us when I slowed the process down because of Chris's cancer. They've never given me any problems about that. And the Lord gave me these final edits to have to go through when I was literally sitting waiting for him to come out of surgeries and stuff. So I always had something. Writing is a way for me to cope. And I'm blessed for that.
Yeah, well, and I'm surprised you've even found time between working a job, having kids, you know, being there to support your husband. Did you ever sleep through any of this? Because it sounds like you probably didn't.
I don't sleep well, so yeah, I it's hard for me to find. I have to make myself to go to bed so that I actually get the rest I need.
So how do you carve out your writing time with everything that does go on in your family and, you know, all the challenges that you have? Do you have, like, a set time that you write, or is it just, you know, when you can still those 5 minutes?
When my children were younger, I had a set time, and that was after they went to bed.
Mm-hmm.
Now that they're older, they don't require mom being there for all the little things through our lives or whatever. They still need me. But I now have, they made me a big sign and created me a room a couple of years ago that says Mom's Den. And this den we've had, outside of having the kitchen table, this den has always had a children's corner in it. I always had reading books and blocks and wooden cars and anything a child could need. And we had 3 desks. In this study. My husband always complains that he doesn't have a desk. But we have 3 desks in there, and we would do homework together, and as they're doing their homework, if they had questions, I was able to help them, or I was able to just sit there and write, and sometimes it would turn into, Mom, let's hear what you've written today. And, it, you know, my family's been very supportive through the whole process, and I'm thankful that they have allowed me to write, because there were times as they got older that, well, where's Mom at? She's either at the kitchen table or she's in the study. Oh, there she is. And then we'd go out and do something. We'd go to the beach. Selena goes to the beach a lot, and we love beach and going hiking and stuff. So I did have specific timing to everything when they were little, because I wasn't going to not be a part of their lives. It's really a struggle for writers to be able to do it around the family, but you can, and I know this sounds corny, but having a family dinner time where everybody sits down at the dinner table seems to help us a lot. we would wind up talking way after dinner. And that always leaned towards whatever was needed within the house, or even in my writing. Well, what do you guys think about this? Does that sound believable? And so that's how we cut everything out.
Yeah, no, I think that's, you know, wise. I know for my family, when we get really crazy and busy and we don't get that family time every day, you know, be it around, you know, dinner
mm-hmm.
time or playing a game together or whatever,
mm-hmm.
I can feel it. The house feels more chaotic
mm-hmm.
and more
that's
stressful
so true.
Because we're not syncing with each other. I still
mm-hmm.
do, you know, we have to sync. You know, just like all our little technical, you know, gizmos have to sync to everything. We as people have to sync with each other, or it throws
so
the
true.
Whole process off.
mm-hmm.
I think
well,
it's great though, that you've had that support.
As my kids grew into teenagers, one of the things that it took me not long to figure out, because you would get carried away with writing, if
mm-hmm.
they needed me, I made a point to close my computer down and to walk away and go off with them. And my kids to this day tell me that that was something that they needed and that they loved that I was able to do for them. And that is one of the hardest things for writers to do, I think, because we get carried away in our worlds.
Yeah. Well, and you get like that point where you're like, oh, this is so great. And then the interruption happens. You're like, no, I must finish the thought.
Oh, it
yeah,
caused a lot of rewrites.
It is. I mean, I always, because I was a track runner for many, many years, and I always think mm-hmm. of my creative moments very much like when I was in track and how sports people talk about, you get in that zone. And it's the
mm-hmm.
same thing with the creative mind. You get in that zone, and once you're in it, when you're pulled out of it, it's really a knee-jerk reaction. It's hard.
It is.
But like you're saying, you know, if your kids need you, especially as a mom, and I admire
mm-hmm.
women writers above men writers, even though I have a lot of favorite authors who happen to be male, I think it's more challenging for females, because as much as men don't want to agree to this, if they're sitting and, like, you know, it doesn't matter if they don't even have to be writers. If they're, you know, working on the yard, or they're out in the
mm-hmm.
garage working on the car or whatever,
mm-hmm.
for whatever reason, family, friends, kids don't tend to bug them. Like, oh, they're busy. But a woman
mm-hmm.
is doing anything that's not for someone else, it's
mm-hmm.
like, oh, we can interrupt her any old time. It doesn't matter. And
mm-hmm.
we have to be able to stop and just transition to whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, so being a female writer, you know, I'm just like, you know, women writers, to be able to get in that zone and then break from that zone to then get back into it, you know,
mm-hmm.
a challenge.
Oh, it truly is, no doubt.
So is there a title for the second book? Because I know you're saying spring 2015, we're hoping it comes out. Have you guys picked a title yet, or is that still in the works?
Actually, we have picked a title. I don't know. We're sort of bouncing between two, but I'm pretty sure that it'll be Shadows in the Mist. Shadow in the Mist, I mean. Mm-hmm. And if not that, it's going to be Shadow Trials.
I like both. Like, I really
mm-hmm.
like both of them. I'm going, now where could those two be going? I kind of know, because I haven't gotten to the end of Shadow Tears. I've read 2/3 of it, so I haven't gotten all the way to the end. But I'm going.
Oh, you're
going to
get blown away in the end. You're going to
okay.
go, I need book two, just like my editor said.
Well, you know, and that's the hard thing when I read series and I really get into them, is when I get to the
mm-hmm.
end and you have to wait for the next book, I'm like on pins and needles going, you know, I really want to know what's going on now. To wait so hard.
I know,
but,
I hate to make people wait for it, but my husband's cancer is going to have to come first.
Well, yeah, and then, of course, you know, the whole process of getting a book published, it doesn't take, you know, where you can just snap your fingers and it's done. I mean, it's a process.
Oh, I wish.
It'd be nice. So where can our listeners find out more about you, AJ, find out more about Shadow Tears, follow you? Because, I mean, you know, now with social media, everybody wants to follow all their favorite writers and their book series.
Well, we are actually putting up our web page for my author page, which will be a real good way for people to follow things along, because I'm going to tell you about the progress on each of the books that I'm working on. And that would be at www.ajtups.com, and that's going to be my website. And I'm actually going to have personality quizzes and little areas where you can play around with characters within the book or just to have fun. And then another place is my Facebook page, which is called the Shadow Realm Saga, Shadow Tears. And you can also always type in AJ Tups, and that should pull up pretty well anything in order to find me. I also have an email address, and that's listed on my author website as well, where people can contact me through that. And we're starting a YouTube page with the different trailers and stuff for Shadow Tears, and I'm hoping that we'll start putting together something for the second book to give you guys a little sneak peek.
Is your son helping you with a lot of this stuff? Or?
Well, right now I do have a web designer through Halo that we're working with, but my son is going to actually take over the website and help me keep everything straight and not mess it up, I pray. And he's going to help me understand how to do blogging, because I've really never done that, but I am looking forward to learning. And that's also going to be on my author's page at ajtups.com. So, and then places where you can purchase the books is at Halo Publishing and Amazon.com, Kindle, Barnes & Noble, Bowker Books, B. Dalton's, and it's all through Ingram Distributing. So go out there and find it. Find me. I'd love to talk to you.
Well, and it sounds like, because you said Kindle, so you have print and you have the e-book available, so either option for who are giving up the paper books, which I have e-books, but I still like to sit and read with a book every so often, curled up on my couch drinking my hot cocoa.
Oh, I do too. I got a nice comfy chair in my den that I do that with and play some teenage games like Ninja Destiny Warriors. I know that sounds funny, but I told you, I'm in touch with my inner teenager.
That's a good thing, especially if you're writing YA.
That's all right.
Yeah. Yeah, guys, stay in touch with that youthful side. Plus, it helps keep you young, right?
That's right. I believe that, too.
I do, too. I honestly do. My kids think I'm weird because I always share with them about the story behind Santa Claus with Virginia because of my name. And they're just looking like, Mom, really, you still believe in Santa? I'm like, yes, I do. I'm like, and so did she. And they think I'm psycho. They're like, okay, Mom, whatever.
That's all right.
Yep. I'm like, you know what? You don't have Christmas without Santa. You don't have Christmas without, you know, whatever your religious background is.
It's
all about that time, you know? Okay. Well, it's all about the spirit. Well, I am glad that you were able to make it on the show, especially with everything you have going on. And it's been a pleasure talking to you. I've been enjoying the book. Like I said, I'm only 2/3 of the way through. I probably won't finish it until after Thanksgiving, since that's this week.
Right.
And I have my son coming home from college this week.
Oh,
so,
wonderful.
It's when you're talking about how you're like, and I was 22. I'm like, yeah, mine's just a little bit younger than that, but not much. It's weird that they grow so fast.
Oh, isn't it?
Yes.
It truly is.
But I do hope you and your family have a wonderful Thanksgiving and that everything, you know, goes smoothly and well for you and your husband, and again, you know, going to be spending the holidays at the hospital. I know that's not an easy thing, but all of us here will definitely be thinking of you guys during that time, and, you know, hoping to continue to promote your book for you while you're busy, because that, I know that's also hard. I mean, you have a book that just released, and, you know, I get it, family comes first, but it's so hard because you get that torn feeling, like, my book's debuting, but yet I have to be here. So I'm glad
that's
that we're
so
able to
true.
Help you.
That's
so,
so true.
I'm glad, yeah, so I'm glad we're able to help you with that. And for our listeners as well, Shadow Tears is doing a virtual book tour through the World of Ink Network sponsored by Halo Publishing. So you can go to worldofinknetwork.com, go to Authors on Tour, and you will see AJ's picture, and you can click on it and take you to our tour page. And we've been getting links up on the tour page, and I'll get stuff linked to your YouTube as well on there so people can get over there and see some of the little teasers, because that's always fun.
I like it YouTube truly
videos.
Is.
is there anything else you'd like to leave with our listeners today?
Oh, just thank you for listening, and hope you enjoy our book and have a happy Thanksgiving.
Well, you too, and thank you for coming on. And we'll be. I know I'll be speaking to you not too soon after Thanksgiving as the tour continues on. So, you take care, and thanks for coming on today.
Thank you. You have a good Thanksgiving. Bye bye.
You too. And then, just so our listeners know, here at the World of Ink Network, we are slowing down into the holiday season. However, we do have Fran Lewis's show, A Book Discussion, this week. It will not be on Thursday. It will be on Wednesday. And that is, I think that's the 26th. Yes. How bad I am with my dates today. Anyways, but it'll be at 4 p.m. Eastern Time this Wednesday, 1 p.m. Pacific. That way you guys can gauge from your time zones here at the World of Ink Network on Blog Talk Radio. It looks like she will have on mediator and lawyer Marcia Alderson, and they'll be discussing some of the differences between arbitration and mediation. So that will be an interesting thing. So if you are into like criminal law type books, that would be definitely a show to tune into as they discuss some of that. It looks like they will be talking about a few other things as well. On the show, so definitely tune in if you are into the whole true crime, thriller-type writing. That will be a really great show to tune into this coming Wednesday. And then next week, we will not have the Writing Mama or Stories for Children show. A Good Story is a Good Story. Myself, Marcia Casper-Cook, we'll both be on vacation. However, Fran Lewis will be doing a show next week. I think Willa Cross will be coming on, and so will Cassandra Dane, so you can tune in next week to catch them at blogtalkradio.com/World of Ink Network. You can learn more about us, any of our guests, at worldofinknetwork.com. Follow us on Twitter at World of Ink, and of course Facebook. And then really quickly, Coffeetown Press did want to share with you that Scott Drescoll's debut novel, Better You Go Home, has released. It's a mystery thriller about a Seattle man who visits the Czech Republic to find his half-sister and uncovers family skeletons. It is also a medical thriller as well, because the main character, Chico, is in need of a kidney, and he is looking that his half-sister may be, possibly be a donor for him. You can go to coffeetownpress.com or amazon.com or any major bookseller to find Better You Go Home by Scott Drescoll. And our author tonight was A.J. Tupps. That's T-U-P-P-S, and her book is called Shadow Tears. It is a young adult novel, coming-of-age story with a sci-fi paranormal kind of background, and you can find that at Halo Publishing, Amazon, Kindle, and, of course, anywhere that major books are sold. We thank you for listening to the Writing Mama show here on the World of Ink Network at Blog Talk Radio, and wish you all a happy Thanksgiving. Bye-bye.
Follow me to the World of Ink.